You're listening to TNM Coaching Unplugged. TNM Unplugged features the diverse perspectives of a thriving global community of coaches, leaders, and experts. And it's all for you.
And welcome everybody to TNM Unplugged, to Zoran Todorović Interconnected Podcast. Fasten your seatbelts. Today we have somebody really, really special. As I said in my previous recordings, I love talking with inspiring, powerful women. I think that now is the time when the feminine energy is rising, that we are learning from this profound, wonderful, amazing feminine. Now is the time when women around the world are rising to become the best possible versions of themselves, to show us the way into this new reality that we really want to co-create together. And I'm always blessed and inspired to have these powerful women come into my podcast to talk to me. First, I think they're super sexy. Amazing. And
nothing sexier than a powerful woman, yes.
There's nothing like that in a remarkable way, but also then wise. And you know, connected and collected and unleashed and so much to talk about. So we have this wonderful friend and colleague and partner in crime, Megan Jo Wilson, joining us today. And I was talking to Megan before we started recording. I said, I usually, you know, introduce people, but somehow I feel today that I would love you to introduce yourself. So how would you introduce yourself to our wonderful audience?
Yeah. Well, first, I would just say I'm so glad that we're friends and that we are colleagues, and I have so much respect for what you're doing in the world. And our missions are really joined, even though, you know, all of us doing this work in our own way. And I think I would just say that my mission, my purpose, my thread in the cosmic fabric of, you know, the world is about exactly what you're saying, supporting women to own their power and their brilliance, their opinions, their beliefs, and their wisdom in a world and a culture that really has gotten to a place where it does not understand and honor the feminine. And we're seeing right up close the really damaging results of that disconnection. And I am a coach. I've been coaching for 17 years. And I'm also a singer and performer and an artist. And I've woven those two passions together in some really fun ways. And I'm also an author and, of course, a teacher. I support other people in coaching and building a business, because for women, we look at the, you know, history of humankind, women being in positions of power, owning businesses, making money, being leaders in that way is really just sort of a nanosecond of time.
Yeah.
And so, as you said, there's this great wave of women entering leadership positions, which is a beautiful thing. And it's really can be confronting and disorienting and painful for all of us, because we're kind of finding our way with how that can work in the current society that we live in.
Yeah, navigating that, you know, I completely get that. It's a nanosecond of women really being in that power themselves. So there is this whole journey of navigation and being able to authentically show yourself, and then also being able to be functioning in the world as we know it. So let's start with the rock star, the house of the rock stars. I would love to, if you can share your journey. How did you arrive there? You know, what really inspired you to start working with women and empowering them to be the best possible versions of themselves?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I remember being in my own leadership training, of which I've done a lot. You know, you and I both have a great fascination with leadership and the power of leadership and understanding that it's a skill and that we are all leaders, whether we know we are or not. We're all leaders, regardless of our role, our title, how much money we make, we're all leaders. So I remember in this training I was taking, they were talking about these skills around knowing your impact and knowing when to step forward and when to follow and knowing when to, you know, that you have to stay, that you're going to make mistakes, knowing that it's not about sort of power over people. It's about supporting people. And at the end of the curriculum, I said, oh, I know how to do all these things because I've been a musician my entire life. And I've been the lead singer of a band for many, many years. And all of these dynamics are things that professional musicians have to learn. We have to notice our impact on the audience. We have to be able to read each other, often without words. We have to know that we are absolutely going to make a mistake, but you don't stop the song when you make a mistake. So forever I had this, how could I teach leadership through music? That seed was planted, but it was just a seed until it was about 4 or 5 years ago when I had one of those, you know, aha moments or a download or like a, it just came to me after a Christmas concert I had done with my 20-piece big band. And this woman came up to me, this has happened, you know, many, many years. She came up to me with this just longing in her eyes and said, I would give anything if I could sing on stage with that kind of confidence and that kind of command. I don't remember who she was. I never followed up with her, but her words stuck with me. And as soon as she said it, I said, I could give that to her. I know exactly how I could give that to her, whether she can sing or not, which is always the next thing. I say, well, you should. And then, of course, the woman says, oh, I can't sing. I could never sing. I could never do that. Right. And this is why we
say, I can't do that ever, ever.
I could never do that. I could never do that. And I think this is why we sort of idolize the rock star archetype, because they, you know, the archetype of the rock star is one who is bold and unapologetic and vulnerable and takes up space and sexy and, you know, unapologetic and all these things. But in that moment, it's like the whole map became clear, because I said, I can coach her through all of her insecurities. I know exactly the band I would hire. I know the club where I would do it. I could have her hair and makeup done. I know, just the whole curriculum fell into place. And I said, this is either a crazy idea or it's a brilliant idea. And there's one way to find out, and that's to try it. And within 2 weeks, I had 10 women signed up. In 2 weeks, 10 women, amazing. None of them with professional musical training, who said, and from all over the country and the world, who said, I will fly to Maine where I live.
Yeah.
And I will spend, you know, 3 days with you if I can get on stage and sing one song with a live band and a live audience. And I will tell you, we did probably 10 rock star camps after that. And the curriculum is almost exactly the same from the first one. In other words, it was just, you know, when it's just downloaded and it's so clear.
Yeah, it was that. Yeah. You got it there.
Yeah. And I'm still in touch with those women from the first Rockstar camp, and their lives were changed forever. And that's been true for everyone who's graduated from that experience. And I can tell you more about it, but that's how it came. It was planted as a seed, you know, and sometimes it just marinates and sprouts and incubates, and then suddenly it's like, oh, it's time to birth.
Yeah.
Time to birth this idea.
And also your willingness to be answering that call. You know, sometimes when this pivotal moment happens in life, you know, we're too busy or, you know, in our own thoughts, we don't even realize it, but you're there present. So that happened. So what happens, you know, in your camp? What is the curriculum like? What do people learn about? What are they going through? Can you just share on that, please?
Yeah. Well, I started working with women in particular. You know, you asked, like, when did you just start working with women? What was that about? Before Rockstar Camp, I was supporting coaches and building businesses, learning marketing and sales and how to enroll clients. And I worked with men and women. And what I noticed in that experience of several years and hundreds of clients is that the men would come to class and I would give them the strategy and the marketing and they'd go do it. They'd come back and say, thanks, coach. What's next? I made $5,000 this week. What's next? And the women would come back and be in this sort of whirlpool of self-doubt, of I hear what you're saying, I get it intellectually, but when it comes time for me to put myself out there as an expert, I feel like, I mean, truly, Zoran, it's like, I feel like I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. I feel like I will be annihilated. Mm-hmm. And so Rockstar Camp gives a woman a very visceral, embodied experience of being literally in a spotlight, seen and heard in the most extreme way, with music as the supporting partner. And by the way, my band is all men who I carefully curate. So there's a container of masculine so that the woman can shine and the audience can reflect her brilliance. And it's not a logical process, right? It's like a cosmic, it's like you can see her cellular wiring changing. It's a magnificent thing to see. And you can see the live concerts on Facebook. I stream them every concert we've done.
Yeah, I saw them. I have goosebumps every time I see them. Like, oh my God. I mean, it's just like proper transformational experience. And if you tune into it, your body feels it.
Your body feels it. And here's the most extraordinary thing. When you're live, you really get this. It's the women who are the least musically talented or gifted that are the most moving. Wow. I mean, the audience will just sob because it's a model of a person saying, I may not do this perfectly, but I'm going to do it anyway because it gives me joy and because I want to demonstrate my courage to myself and to the world. And when a person sees that, like, wow, this person is willing to be seen and heard, even in her, not imperfection, right? In her expression.
Yeah, in her expression. That's exactly how I see it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And bare expression. I think that's something that really touches us all. When you're allowing yourself to have this bare, uncensored expression, and you're actually challenging yourself to overcome your own limiting beliefs, you know, self-image, self-projections, how other people see you, right? There is a lot packed there.
You're
there, then people naturally have this reaction of like being so, they're in awe of that moment, right?
Right. So you're getting this experience of your brain doing what it does, saying, this is very dangerous. This is threatening. I'm going to die if I do this. And then they do it because they're doing it no matter what. I had one woman who lost her voice. I mean, all kinds of crazy physical things start to happen. She lost her voice. Another woman threw her back out. And I said, that's okay. You'll go on stage and lip sync. That's okay. We'll get you a wheelchair. You're getting on stage.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh my gosh, she means this. We're really good. There's no way to get out of this. And then what she thinks will happen is annihilation.
Yeah.
But what she discovers is what happens is inspiration.
Yeah.
That people are inspired, that she becomes inspired, that she is safe to be seen and heard. So, you know, we circle up for 8 weeks online before the retreat. They come to Maine for 3 days. We do the concert on the second day because we need a day to digest and then to explore what's next, what's possible for you here. And then, you know, I have a whole army of graduates who continue to work. Often they come back on stage because they want more.
Yeah, of course.
I want to do that again.
Of course.
But from that place afterwards, they have a completely rewired experience of what's possible for them, a feeling of safety, and that sort of loosening of that grip of what caring so much about what will people think of me. You know, so women start businesses, they write books, they move to Spain, they fall in love with a guy in Cuba, they find their dream house, their money expands, their joy expands. They start trusting themselves and are more willing to, as we said, kind of in the beginning, right, to own their wisdom.
Yeah. And also and how opinion. How you put it beautifully, the distinction between masculine and feminine when you coach men and they go and execute, and women come into this state of doubting and reflecting and not being able, or, you know, justifying why not and not summoning that courage. So what happens with this, you really enable people to go to this experience that it becomes inspirational for them that, yes, I can do this. For me, this is the ultimate empowerment, so to say.
Yeah.
Especially when you're performing in front of everybody else. I mean, you know,
and especially live.
Live.
Right? Because yeah. Imagine we could pre-record it and then say, oh, there's a mistake. But no, this is going to be live because this is a leadership training. Mm-hmm. There is no, you can rehearse all you want, right, Zoran? But in the moment of truth, you're in front of the class, you're in front of your team, you're in front of the board, you're in front of, you are in a leadership role and you cannot press pause.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're
alive.
Do it.
You're alive in life. Absolutely. So when the people go through this, women go through these experiences, they go back into their life. You can even mention, you know, what happens. What else happens? You know, are they able to anchor and integrate, or they need ongoing coaching support? Or what I'm asking you, you know, if you look to all of your graduates, are they all able to transform their life or they need further coaching support?
Without any coaching support?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most of them, many of them are, you know, not surprisingly, they're coaches or spiritual seekers or light work. I mean, they're very into personal growth and self-study and these, although not all, I will say, not all. Mm-hmm. So most of them want more and continue. But the critical piece here, too, is that I'm not just giving them skills. I'm giving them a sisterhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm giving them tools and sort of, it's not really rules of engagement, but I'm just going to call it that for now, for how we will relate as women in the world, which is almost 180 degrees away from how we're taught to relate to each other as women in the world. And this is what really actually changes their life.
Right.
Because we feel so alone. We don't have a lot of historical context for women leaders, even though they're, since the beginning of time, women have been leading and changing and influencing. But we don't have a lot of, women's history isn't documented. So we don't know, we feel like we are the only ones who doubt ourselves, who have insecurities, who are scared to be seen. And we are trained to compete with other women, to not trust other women, to criticize other women. And the way that most women connect is through complaint and victimhood, and isn't it? I mean, and it's just, you know, we all kind of do that at times, right? But women in particular, if you go into a women's bathroom, it's like, we just complain. It's how we connect. So our rules.
My husband,
my body, my boss, my kid, so hard. So our rules, and we have tools and practices and exercises also that I give them. Mm-hmm. But the fundamental piece is we will approve of each other. Mm-hmm. And we will celebrate ourselves and we will celebrate each other.
Wow.
Period. And we will hold each other and we will understand, because you know, and I know that feminine masculine isn't about men and women, right?
Yeah.
Men have great capacity for feminine energy and women masculine, but we will understand what feminine energy actually means. And we will support each other in honoring that, again, in a world that doesn't honor it at all.
Or receive it, you know, in the most beautiful way. Recognize it, receive it.
Mm. Yeah. So it's really the sisterhood. That's not what they think they're signing up for, because it's not what we think we need.
Yeah.
I don't need a sisterhood. I have sisters. I have friends.
Yeah.
But this is a kind of sacred sisterhood.
Yeah.
And like I said, that first group that went through the course 4 years ago, they've gone to each other's weddings. They've met each other in other countries. They still have an ongoing, you know, WhatsApp text thread every week where they're sharing what's going on. And they will be bonded for life.
Yeah. How glorious is that? You know, because I run Brotherhood as well, you know, where I live right now. And it's the same thing. People don't sign up for Brotherhood because or Sisterhood because they don't think they need it. But once when you are within that framework and you understand this unconditional support, love, appreciation, holding each other to the best possible esteem, then you begin feeling this is exactly the dimension that was missing in my life. It's like a soul family.
And I didn't even know I was missing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to be, you know, I'm so glad you're doing that. And you know this, but I'll just say to everyone, men are sacred. Like men are beautiful. Men are important. We are all in this thing together. Mm-hmm. And feminine, the charge of equal rights or feminist activism is, it should not be and will never work if it's anti-male.
Yeah.
So we actually did a rock star camp for men, which was extraordinary. Extraordinary.
Oh my God, I didn't even know. That's amazing.
It was all men and I led it and I learned so much and it was so fascinating to consider, you know, will the curriculum be different? No, I don't think it should. But it was funny even to think like, should the food be different? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And like, yeah, it should be a little different or should it? I don't, it was so fascinating. I learned so much from them and I really didn't change the curriculum very much. And they were all transformed in the same way.
So now you have one book behind you, which is Put the Fuck Am I to Coach? Or I can say Put the Fuck Am I to Coach, which I love, but there is a new book coming up, No More Playing Small. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about it. I love when I saw this, No More Playing Small. It was just like resonating through my soul. I'm like, I want to read this book. I think every single human being should read this book. Tell me about that book. How did it come to be? Is it linked to the rock star? Or is it something completely different? What is in that book?
It's very closely linked. And it really outlines this sort of method and some of the tools and the frameworks and philosophies that I'm teaching to women. And it is written for a woman, but of course it would be valuable for a man as well. And the title really comes from, it's same as the first one, Who the Fuck Am I to Be a Coach? And No More Playing Small. These are words that I'm hearing from my clients all the time. This longing. It's like so many of us and women in particular are like, okay, I know I'm called to do something important. I know I'm called to do something big, but how? Like, what is it? And how? And this book is written in particular for coaches who you and I know and love. These are our people, right? We are almost like, I think that coaches are the leaders of now and the leaders of the future. We are the ones who are elevating consciousness and teaching people that it is all about consciousness, that it is that all of your thoughts have an impact at every moment and that you are responsible in the best way for your life and for your results and the way you see the world. So it's a book that talks a lot about Rockstar Camp. It outlines the Rockstar method, which is of course an acronym, right? R is for raise your voice, O is for own your message, C is command the stage, and so on. Wow. And it has a lot of practical stuff around marketing and sales, which are words that tend to make light worker types go, ah! Not marketing and sales!
No, I know.
but when I tell them, as I do in the book, marketing means connecting.
Yeah.
And sales means inviting and serving.
Yeah.
And coaches are the best people in the world at this.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm like, you already are an expert in marketing and sales. You just have this collapse, which I did too, that a marketing and sales, it brings up like capitalism and corruption and dominance, inequality.
Yeah.
So I'm really trying to reframe that because, you know, money matters in our current world. We have a shared agreement. We use money to make things happen. And so my big mission is to really support and channel those revenue streams to the people like us who have so much wisdom to give so that we can do our work full time, so that we can invest in leaders, politicians, organizations that we believe in, so that we can take care of ourselves to do our work. That's really huge for me. And again, for women, having wealth, power, and influence is a very new thing. So even though we want it, it's very uncomfortable. We sort of like to stay in our perverse comfort zone of, I'll just be a broke, back in the background kind of servant of God that doesn't get to make money or something. It's very fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me as well. I've done a lot of wellness work, and you're absolutely right. You know, that marketing and sales, exactly what we've done with our body, triggers so much. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful and happy that you're reframing it. Because actually, I enjoyed it myself personally. I love it because for me, it's exactly as you said, it's about connecting.
Yeah.
Really, really connecting. It's about serving. Once when you connect, you serve other people's needs. What do you need from this? And we do this in coaching profession really well. And it's, for me, it was always sweet, never corrupted, really lovely. But you have to come from that space of complete and total authenticity, right?
That's
and
right.
You need to be able to be true to your message and relax with this. You know? Yeah.
That's true. And it's I think that's happening across the world, especially now in the extraordinary time we're living through. That the old ways of sales will no longer work and marketing. It's just not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to work. I mean, millennials do not buy that bullshit for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I younger, know. Like, no. I can smell your snake oil a mile away. It's got to be real. It's got to be authentic. It's got to be from a place of service.
Yeah.
And I think that's really exciting because the way, well, you know, we could go into all the wealth inequality and all that, but it's really dangerous. It's very serious, and something's got to give, and something is giving.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think that when we do it in the way you are recommending in your book, is that we step into that space of service to self and then service to others. That's the big thing that I love you emphasizing to people. When you serve yourself in the best possible way, not in a selfish way, but in a self-loving way. And then from that loving space of unconditional connection, you step into service to others.
Yeah.
When you serve others, abundance flows. I've seen it so many times in my life, and people decide to make that leap, like in the rock star camp, when they get onto the stage, connect, they're in service to themselves, in service to others, they're sharing themselves explicitly.
Yeah.
And this whole energy of abundance just follows and says, okay, just do it. Because humans, we are wired to be unconditionally loving. We are wired to serve each other. We are wired to support and love and nourish one another. So that's our nature, basically. We're not competitive, mean, you know, like grabbing for one another. It's completely a paradigm that is disappearing right now, and we're stepping in a new paradigm of that. Wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, that's why I said we have the same mission. And isn't it wild how our culture is so ingrained for competition and greed, and how unnatural that is, and yet how normal it's become. So I think it's just hysterical when people say, you know, I think part of the reason coaches and healers and us kind of people, we are nervous to put ourselves out there because the world thinks that we are soft. The world thinks we're woo-woo and flaky. It's like, no, we're the sober ones. We're the courageous ones.
Yeah.
We're the ones who are calling out this craziness. and doing the work. So I think, I think our work is incredibly important, and there's really nothing soft or fluffy about it.
Yeah. In the contrary, it's strong, powerful, and integrity. And I also want to emphasize for our audience who are listening, especially coaches, what you said, that you see coaches as leaders for the future. I saw that a long time ago. I think being in that inquiry, loving people unconditionally, trusting that you have everything that you need inside of yourself to be able to create and co-create the life that you desire, trusting your abilities, you know, this is all that is absolutely necessary, especially now, to be activated inside of human collective consciousness for us to be able to raise up to the next level of ourselves. So
yeah,
I love that.
And to see that in others. And to see that, you know, I'm looking at my notes from a call last night. Just from a call I happen to have, and the quote says, remember, your client is infinitely capable.
Yeah.
Remember that all people, if we lived in a world where we all saw each other as infinitely capable, it would be a different planet.
Yeah. Yes. I use a similar language there. I always say we are all creative genius.
Yeah.
All creative genius. And I always say to people, you know, we have such a big stigma about this. Like as you said in Rockstar, there is one rock star, one artist, one actor, one, and then everybody else mediocre, everybody else incapable in this fluff of the sea. And I say, no, now is the time for us to know that we all are creative geniuses. We all are that special, unique part that needs to be expressed on it, right? And what I love about your work is that a lot of the time in coaching, when you are working with people through conversation and through coaching their emotional body and their cognitive body, it's one level of accomplishment. You get people to physicalize and get onto the stage. And that for me was always a missing link. How can you really embody that? How show me, right? Show me, show everybody that embodiment. And then for me, it's a missing link. And this is the reason why I think it's so important what you're doing right now, you know, for women and then hopefully for men to get them to that level of embodiment. They own it, right? Because that's always that integration that happens afterwards. That is super important, right?
I think it is. I think if it's just mental, I mean, the mind is incredibly powerful. And I've worked with people just sitting and talking, but the physical and the emotional and the spiritual pieces, they're all connected, right? This is why people do ropes courses. This is why people do equine coaching. There's so many cool programs now that are integrating the somatic piece. It's not just sitting and thinking about your mindset. And it's not just about getting things done. Mm-hmm. That's not, I mean, I think a lot of people think who don't know coaching think it's just, I'm going to hire a coach so I can be more productive, which is like the ultimate toxic masculine blueprint, because that's the greatest value to get things done. It's more than that.
It's more than that. Wonderful. So we're coming close to our ending of the podcast. How would you like to leave our audience with anything that comes naturally from you that you would love to share just to kind of close it?
Yeah, well, I assume you have a lot of women listening, a lot of coaches, a lot of visionaries. You know, one of the exercises that I love to do, it's very simple. It's very practical, but it can be really powerful to just sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and write a bunch of sentences that start with the words, I believe, and finish the sentence and do it again and do it again and fill up a page with statements about what you believe, as if no one else were ever going to read it. And what this does, first of all, it lets you, and for women in particular, see like, oh, I have so many beliefs about things. You may notice that many of them are counterculture. You may notice that some of them are very mainstream. I mean, you could even say like, I believe tacos are better than hamburgers. Like that's what I'm just as simple as that. But you'll start to get to your core beliefs and it's really powerful. And then part two is like, go share that belief with someone or go do a post on social media about that belief, or tell a story about how you came to that belief. Mm-hmm. You know, your story matters. Mm-hmm. And the more women are willing to tell our story, and that's why this is happening. That's why it's an exponential growth, because the more women do it, the more other women say, oh, if she can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
So that's what came to mind as I was thinking of my chapters. I think that's one of the exercises I put in Own Your Message chapter. You have to know what you believe in as a leader, and to know that people will disagree with it. And that's okay. That means you're up to something good.
Yeah, exactly. And challenge you. That means you're up to something good. Absolutely. I completely with you. I advocate the beliefs. I see them as a foundation of your blueprint. When you begin understanding your internal wiring, what really makes you you on that level, on the level of belief, then slowly you can be more conscious around the reality you're co-creating with others, because you're also becoming awakened and aware. And then you can choose later on, right? So, you know, continuation of that exercise, if you see that certain beliefs are limiting you or stifling your life, you can now you can choose what you really want to believe.
That's right. What do I want to believe?
Yeah.
Because that's also a choice. Which is so exciting. I can choose what I want to believe. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, how cool is that?
Yeah. How cool is that? How cool is that? How cool are you? Thank you so much, Megan, for joining me today. Thank you so much for sharing yourself with our audience, for sharing your life and your camp. I will put all the information about the Rockstar Camp, about the book, about your personal website in the signature of this podcast, so you can find more information about this wonderful woman. Thank you so much for being with us here today. And listeners, thank you so much for coming and enjoying this podcast.
It's my pleasure. We'll have to do it again, because I don't see you enough. So we need more excuses to connect.
Or I come to your camp. Let's see.
Or you come to my camp, even better.
Let's see. Thank you so much once again. Bye, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.
Bye.